always a pleasure to look over and see just the sea of smiling faces. Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue along with our esteemed panel joining us this morning, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Newsman Ray Graff.
Good morning, Joe.
One of our smiling faces. And Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld.
Good morning, Joe.
Ever smiling. Ever smiling as Ira. Good morning and welcome. We love having you aboard. All you have to do if you want to get in on the conversation is email us roundtable@wamc.org. A reminder, you can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page, or you can tweet us at WAMC Roundtable, all of the ways to get in touch with us this morning. There are many items to discuss. We have a lot of cool things to talk about, and some very serious, some not so. And we will begin with the Benghazi report. This is a... Are you leaving? You are good?
No. You know, we just did the media project in the other studio, and I realized I can't see anything. So I looked over through the transparency here, the window, at the thing, and there are my glasses lying inside.
I am sure that just through the sound of your voice,
somebody
my
like
voice,
Ian Pickus would do.
Somebody. If David's listening, somebody will go in, get your glasses, and bring them in to you.
Okay.
And you'll be able to see.
But there's
this whole new thing
in the internet now, you know. That says I'm a little off topic. I get it, but that says glasses hurt your vision. It's one of those things that comes floating through the internet, which I don't think has any real proof. But somebody wrote a little article somewhere.
Well, I can see that. I mean, for years when I was wearing glasses and I'm very nearsighted, and when the computer aid started, I found that it was very difficult for me to see, and my eyes actually got worse over time. And then I had the miracle of cataract surgery in both eyes.
I had that too.
And I have lenses implanted in my eyes, so I do not need glasses except for very small print to read.
Yes, that's the problem. When I went into my guy, before my cataract surgery, they held a book in front of me and they said, "Now, where do you hold this book? Where do you hold this book when you read?" And I didn't know, so I said, "Down here." But it turns out it's not down here, but
no,
up here.
Yeah. That's so very hard.
So that's why, even though I can see perfectly, you know, without glasses in the distance, I have a little problem with reading.
Well, I can see clearly now.
I have never felt so young. I think this is terrific. You know, I feel like a young scamp.
Well,
here.
No, Alan's point is great, because I have that same problem, because they give you that sort of cyber book, and you're supposed to look at it and look down, and I don't know. It's like half the time.
Who knows where
you
read?
You know, if I were in bed and had a dog on my lap, I'd be able to tell you where I read from. But right now, I can't. I don't know. This looks normal to me, and then you get the glasses, and they're all screwed up.
Exactly.
So here's the more important point. Is what other talk show in this nation right now is starting off talking about Benghazi and quickly moved to eyesight and cataracts? And if there's anyone of the right-wing persuasion listening to the program, they're saying, sure, they don't want to talk about that thing.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because I couldn't do the assigned reading because my eyes weren't right.
Program is always better when you don't do the assigned reading. Or we'll find out.
I thought where you were going with it was that the beginning of the program was the Peabody Committee listening and saying, "Oh my God, quick!"
Wasn't Peabody one of those little dogs in the cartoon show?
Yes, Sherman and Peabody.
Sherman and Peabody. Yes.
A Jay Ward production. Yes. Responsible for Rocky and Bullwinkle.
We're way off of this.
Meanwhile, back in Benghazi.
Meanwhile, back in Benghazi,
a stinging report by the Senate Intelligence Committee released Wednesday concluded that the attack 16 months ago that killed four Americans in Benghazi, Libya, could have been prevented, singling out the State Department for criticism for its failure to bolster security in response to intelligence warnings about a growing security crisis around the city. The report is broadly consistent with the findings of previous inquiries into the attack on September 11, 2012. But it is the first public examination of a breakdown in communications between the State Department and the CIA during the weeks leading up to the deadly episode at the diplomatic compound where J. Christopher Stevens, the American ambassador, died. How How stinging a report is this, do you think, Alan?
No, I think it's a stinging report, as others have been. The real question I think that a lot of people are raising is whether or not this hurts Hillary Clinton's presidential aspirations. My answer is, since I was going to let everybody go first, and then I was going to come down and say that agree with them. But since you asked, I don't think it hurts her a bit.
The Republican committee members singled out former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, a possible Democratic presidential candidate in 2006, as bearing ultimate responsibility for lax security at the diplomatic compound in Benghazi. It was an addendum to the bipartisan report. Ira?
Well, I think, as with a lot of issues between now and the next presidential election, so many things can happen to change where we view it right now. But I would say if the election were tomorrow, it hurts her a little bit for those who might be on the fence, because there is something that may stick to her vis-a-vis her. Because most of the criticism was against the State Department, which she chaired. And even if she was not hands-on, as we've seen any number of places, the CEO will get blamed for something that may not be directly their fault. So I think more than that, ordinarily this, I would say to you, Benghazi happened, something terrible happened. We need to find out what happened, and we need to see what we can do to prevent it. And that was done, I think. What is now going to happen and what would not have happened 10, 15, 20 years ago is that this is just constantly being drumbeated by the opponents, particularly on Fox News.
And for what reason is it being drumbeated?
Well, I think it's clear. The reason is they wanted to stick to her politically. Now, by the way, I was changing the channels yesterday, and it was like being in the bizarro world. Because on Fox News, all you saw was Benghazi, and on MSNBC, all you saw was Chris Christie.
Ah.
And they're just playing to those ends of their viewership, and the great unwashed in the middle are left to decide which of either are exaggerating and how much meat there is to these stories.
Oh, I see.
Do you think, Alan, there's any chance
that was
in the
like
world?
That was like your mother saying, "How do you do?"
I see.
Yeah, I see.
Yes. Do you think there's
the implied criticism, of course, is what were you watching then?
Well, because I find myself flipping back and forth as I do, and I don't stay on either of them for long, to be honest with you.
All right. So,
we interrupted Newsman Ray Graham.
I forget.
No, you said Alan. You.
Fox News. I remember. Yeah.
Alan, do you think there's any chance in the world Hillary doesn't run? She hasn't announced.
Okay, now that's a very interesting question. Unless there's a physical problem, in other words, unless she had some thing with her head or something like that we don't know, because
she
was out earlier this year.
There's no chance in my mind that she won't run.
Okay.
I think she's
asking Alan in his office before about an hour ago, and I posed the question, if Hillary and Biden, for whatever reason, Benghazi or otherwise, choose not to run, where is the next Democrat on the list? I mean, we've seen a laundry list of potential Republicans.
Right?
Andrew is the first one that people in New York perhaps would think of. Senator Gillibrand, perhaps. Senator Schumer, perhaps. Or who else could you think of on the nation?
But one of the things that happens is that these people all get vetted. We saw that in the Republican thing, and somebody makes a mistake, and that's the end of it. So that even though Cuomo has the name, Papa Cuomo, after all, I think that's why he's the governor, to be fair, because he comes in with the Cuomo mantle. It means a great deal in New York State. I don't know that it means as much for the rest of the country. Let's remember that Mario couldn't be president for a lot of reasons, and a lot of people thought it attached the word Kansas to it, and then that's where the media filter becomes very important in terms of saying that. So what happens is you don't know who these guys are. Then they stand up before a microphone or in a debate, and you say, well, that guy's not that smart, or that woman is not that smart. And I think that that's what happens. Unlike New York, where almost inevitably the next person up is already sort of chosen based on family name and everything else.
I just think it's telling that the fact that the Democrats, other than Hillary, who is not committed to anything but is presumed to going to be running, and Biden, who as vice president, it is presumed that the presidency is something he'd like to go after, that no other Democrats are even right. suggesting that they're all
oh, well,
deferring to these
true.
Two
you got
people.
The guy in Maryland.
Are they out there?
The guy in Connecticut. Those are guys whose names keep coming up.
By whom? Who's the guy in Connecticut?
Blumenthal? I knew you were going to say that. If I knew that, I would tell you.
Well, no, is it Blumenthal?
No. Blumenthal is the senator.
And Malloy?
Malloy.
Yeah.
Malloy
See,
is
I hadn't
the
heard those
yeah.
names. I just find it interesting that although nobody has stepped forward, it seems to me the Democrats know that it's Hillary's if she wants it and Biden's if she doesn't want it and that there's nobody else even going to be out
well,
there.
Well, Ira, I would
say that. Well, they're all going to run for vice president.
The polls all support you in that. But I would just say, you know, that this vetting system that we have that I was just talking about, the primaries and the debates and the stuff that comes up can change minds. I would tell you one thing. There's no question who has been the president of the United States for the last 7 years, Hillary Clinton. No, she hasn't. It was this guy who came out of the West and nobody knew really Obama. And he's the president of the United States then. Things change.
So going back to Benghazi, what is that report damaging to her? You don't believe so?
I don't know. Is it a report?
Let me just add to the Iris question, which is it damaging to her when you consider because when she came under a lot of fire for her testimony before on Capitol Hill when she was very defiant and said, you know, what do you want me to do and that kind of thing. With that demeanor, with this report, does that hurt her?
No, I think it shows that she's a gutsy lady. She's always been that. She stood up and she said, you know, after they were after Bill on the sexual stuff, and she said, you know, it's a vast Republican conspiracy. And guess what? It was. And everybody said, Republican conspiracy. When you look at the way in which those folks have been behaving, for example, in the budgetary, closing down the government, the real question is, where are they coming from? Are they coming from a critical analysis of Benghazi, a policy analysis, or are they just using it as a club to hit her over the head
but
with?
Let's start.
And if people believe, I'm sorry, Ira, but if people believe the second part, that it is just anything to get rid of the Democrat, then they'll tend to dismiss it. Nobody thinks it's a good thing that the poor guy got killed. It was terrible. But the real question is, why lay it on Hillary's desk? Who is the head of the government? The president of the United States. He's not running, so he doesn't get it.
Yeah. Well, because I was going to ask you, I mean, the initial question was, do we think it's going to hurt her? And that aside, what do we think of the report that does, in fact, criticize her and the State Department? Is that what does that say to you? Should that be a black mark against her? When you have we've got all the check marks in the one column, we have all the check marks in the other column. This one is it being properly laid at her feet?
Is it salient? It's a word I use a lot. Is it the kind of thing that will make the middle range, the purple people, not the blue people, not the red people, the purple people say, this woman isn't equipped to be president?
And by the way, the report also pointed out, and you never want to blame the victim, but the report did point out that Ambassador Stevens refused twice an offer for more military assistance prior to the attack that the military offered him, and he did not want it. So, you know, for those who say the compound was not adequately protected, the ambassador himself turned
down. So when they bring it up, you know, somebody on that debate panel is going to say that. She'll say it. She'll say, wait a second now. Here it is. It's a matter of public record. He was offered the protection. He didn't take it.
And you know what Senator Inhofe, a Republican, said on one of the interviews? This is the worst cover-up in the history of the country.
Well, sure. Exactly.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other news items, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back right after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Topperson, creams for pain relief and first aid for children and adults without grease or odor. Topperson.com. Utica College, offering a post-professional doctor of physical therapy program online, utica.edu. And Harney & Sons Fine Teas, specializing in tea for over 30 years, offering 200 different varieties of tea, accessories, and more in Millerton, Soho, and online, harney.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, along with Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Ira Fussfeld. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Again, we love hearing from you. You can do it through the website, our webpage, Facebook page. You can tweet us, or again, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us go to some other issues to talk about things before. Oh, I just got Alan's letter. There we go. Okay.
I think it's important that we tell the listeners that Alan did get his glasses.
Yes. Okay.
Because I don't want them hanging on this.
Yes. All is good. Yes. All is very good. Moving on to other issues, let us talk about let's see what we got for time here. So there was the Supreme Court justices questioning the size of buffer zones around Massachusetts abortion clinics. This is an interesting story. Supreme Court justices on Wednesday aggressively questioned whether a Massachusetts law that creates buffer zones around abortion clinics unconstitutionally inhibits the free speech rights of an abortion activist. Several justices made clear in their questioning that they think the law's restrictions on who can come within a 35-foot space around a facility's entrance unfairly target those who want to hand out leaflets or speak to the women planning abortions.
Well, you're looking at me.
I'm looking at you. Yes, I am.
I think that in this great country of ours, there are laws, and that people are permitted to, and I certainly wouldn't discourage people from being activists and from leafleting and from picketing and all those things. So I'm not saying it shouldn't occur around abortion clinics. But boy, it makes me uncomfortable if, in fact, this kind of activity makes women not want to go in or afraid to go in. To go there has got to be a serious decision and a gut-wrenching decision, and to make them feel worse or not want to go in because of picketing disturbs me.
To me, the issue here. And I guess it's a fine line, because I agree with you entirely, 100%. There's one thing between having a presence there, of having your signs up and being there. But this one line that I just read about handing out leaflets or speaking to the women who are going in planning abortions, I mean, where does that become activism versus harassment to the person who is entering that clinic?
Not only that, but as many people have pointed out, Joe, there are these prohibitions that exist already. For example, at a polling place, you have to be, what, more than 50 feet away?
You have to be outside, down the street, whatever.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about this one, because I am so prejudiced in terms of my own personal views that the rights of the women who are going into those clinics need to be protected.
It's interesting that according to the reports yesterday, the AP reports yesterday, both the liberal justices and the conservative justices were looking askance at this. And so I found it interesting that both sides of the ideological aisle have a problem with the law. And I believe, if what I read yesterday is correct, no one was arrested or prosecuted under this law in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So you're saying that they believe that the Massachusetts law, which is, what is it, 35 feet, is too stringent?
We'll see what the justices say. Yeah. But apparently, and I don't know who reported this for the AP, but they said both liberal and conservative justices appeared questioning severely this thing.
And well, I guess now, that's my...
Now sometimes, just from a political science-y point of view,
yep.
When justices ask tough questions, it's so that they can get the answers that will be used in their refutation of the position. So they often do that.
Well, I like that political science-y idea. That's nice. Can we let's pause right there. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll continue with this conversation. We'll welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll continue our conversation. All of that and much, much more. All you have to do is keep listening. That's easy to do. It's roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll continue after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable panel on this Thursday morning. I'm Joe Donahue along with Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Ira Fussfeld. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. And we were talking about this issue about abortion clinic zones and the Supreme Court hearing this case yesterday, a case that where the takes place in Massachusetts. Eleanor McCullen, who sued the state of Massachusetts for enacting a buffer zone around abortion clinics. And the question is over whether they have, by having this buffer zone, 35 feet, it is unconstitutionally inhibiting the free speech right of anti-abortion activists. And we kind of put the pause button on our conversation while we went to break. And I think you were speaking, Ira, but I guess the question I would have is, you know, are we going to get into one of these things that where 20 feet is okay, 15 feet is okay, but 30 isn't? Or,
well, that's right. And based on what Ray was saying about the way he heard the questioning from both the left and the right on this issue, and as you indicated earlier, there is, no pun intended, a fine line here. As much as I would like to see no protests out of abortion clinics, and certainly not closer than 35 feet, do we want the courts picking and choosing what kind of buffer zones there should be, whether it's people protesting against abortions, people standing outside of this radio station or outside of my newspaper?
Or fracking sites, if that comes
down.
Right.
So there is that decision that has to be made, and will free speech, and perhaps should free speech, not just override everything else here?
Or, you know, why don't people you never hear about people protesting at gun shops?
You know, they're afraid.
Yeah. Good point.
What are they going to carry in their pockets?
Alan, any thoughts?
I'm warning about the freedom of expression of the woman who is walking into the center and who wants to make her point, wants to be able to say, "Oh, I want to access this," and whether or not the people who are standing by there jeering her, yelling names at her, are interfering with her freedom of expression.
Right. There was a comment from Lucy who wrote to us and said, let's not forget that many people visiting Planned Parenthood are not going there for an abortion. Exactly. A huge majority of college women have their first visit to a gynecologist at Planned Parenthood.
That's a great point.
So there is that. Just because you're going to a clinic that perhaps provides abortions, that does not mean that is the reason that the particular woman is entering the
exactly
clinic
true.
At that time. So we'll see what any sense of how the court will go on this?
Well, I mean, you know, you have an automatic sort of 5-4 division in terms of conservative versus liberal, with all that that implies. Now, there will be people who are listening and say this is not a conservative or a liberal issue, but you can pretty well tell how people are going to line up according to the way that things have gone. But I think there are some people that you really can't take for granted, like Justice Sotomayor and some of the others who have shown their ability to say what they think. And then you go back to their own upbringings and what they believe. And, you know, what really bothers me about the Supreme Court is this a court that is dedicated to jurisprudence, or is it a little legislature, a little Congress sitting up there? We're depending on who is doing, who is on the court, just like in who's in the Senate, you get a change. That is something that's been bothering me for quite a while now.
We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'd love to hear from you. I thought we had another message, but I don't see it right in front of me. Okay, that's fine. Moving on to other stories, Alan, let's talk about this one.
Okay.
I'm sure you have a thing or two to say about it, and I'm interested in that. This is the governor... Andrew Cuomo and Eric Schneiderman feud.
Yeah, well, Eric Schneiderman just got a huge settlement, Joe.
Right. Real quick,
yeah, sure.
Governor Cuomo has asked people if they think Eric Schneiderman, the attorney general, I was getting into the eyeliner
that,
right? I'm not going to get into that.
Allegedly,
right. Yeah. This is their ultimately how the competition coming. They have competing plans on how to spend a settlement with J.P. Morgan Chase, which is a huge amount of money, $613 million.
Yeah.
And so here comes the rivalry, which brings out the relationship between these two men, which I think it's safe to say in the history of New York State politics that the relationship between the attorney general and the governor is often...
Especially when they're in different practice. Parties.
Right, yes.
Well,
which
you know,
they're not now.
No, they're not now. Apparently, the settlement gave, not that this is red-letter law, but gave Schneiderman the ability to use the money where he, the attorney general, thought it was best. Obviously, he's got favored programs. Andrew Cuomo wants the money put into the general fund and used, I guess, the way he wants.
Yeah,
he
is there precedent for an attorney general to have that sort of carte blanche over a vast amount of money?
If I told you, I would be lying. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. But I'm assuming that what I want to do is I want to foil, or I want a freedom of information, Andrew Cuomo's his report card from third grade. And I want to see if at the bottom where, you know, you have the comments at the end, it says, doesn't play well with others.
Right. Yeah.
So we not only have this, but then we have his ongoing contest with the very good state controller, Tom DiNapoli, over different things. And what we hear, I don't know, what we hear again and again is that the Cuomo people want to take over the DiNapoli function, investment function of all those billions of dollars in the pension funds. So that the real question is, does Andrew sit up there and take everybody else as a potential enemy? In other words, but when he was attorney general, believe me, he wanted to expand his powers. He gets to be governor, he stops being attorney general. Does he go after Schneiderman? Now, Schneiderman's got a few problems. Number one, nobody knows who he is. It still is a big issue for him. They don't know who the guy is. I know that his people are doing everything in their power to change that. I know that after he achieved the settlement, we got a call. We don't always get a call back from the attorney general's office to be on the Capital Connection or one of those shows. And boy, they wanted him out there because this was seen as a big get for the AG. I always tell my students that in politics, it all goes to a matter of character. Freud said it. I believe it. Is there a point at which the governor should sit down and say, we're better getting along, all of us, me and Tom DiNapoli and the attorney general? I had that job, and I know what a pain in the neck it can be if you have a governor who contests with you. And so I would just say that, you know, that's my only thought on this.
Do you think that although the public generally reviles lawyers,
yeah,
that the attorney general of this state or other states in which the attorney general is elected similarly is on the side of the gods? In other words, the public wants to have an independent somebody looking over their government. And if they trust their attorney general is the one, then he is going to be able to play from the high ground. And I would contrast that to the nation's attorney general, who is not an elected position, but an appointed position, and thus is often seen as doing the bidding for the president and not necessarily for the country.
Well, I think in the context of your question, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's what, right. Let's look at who becomes governor of New York State. Elliot Spitzer was attorney general, did a good job there. He becomes the governor. Andrew Cuomo was attorney general. And Bo Biden down in, was it Maryland?
Maryland.
No, Delaware.
Delaware. Yes.
He becomes the governor and goes on to a brilliant career. So, yes, it is somebody who positions themselves. Now, the question is, if you're a governor and you see the attorney general coming on strong, do you do something basically to put a little bit of a kibosh on their advancement?
Yeah, and I think you're right. Most people who don't even know who their own assemblyman is don't know who the attorney general is. He probably won primarily because he's a Democrat from the New York City area. And I as I'm sitting here, I can't even remember who the Republican candidate
was. Well, they knew who Spitzer was, and they knew who Andrew was. And
after a time when they became more and more part of the headlines.
And that's the deal. You're supposed to go out there and really fight the good fight. And it's a brilliant position to go there. Now, Tom DiNapoli, the comptroller, he gets into trouble with this administration because he audits them, you know, up and down, and then he comes up with unfavorable reports every once in a while, which is his job. And then you may remember there's a little bit of a spate when they decided they were going to audit him. And
I don't remember the level of angst when Carl McCall was the controller and Mario Cuomo was the governor. He was certainly a good controller in my recollection.
He was.
But I don't remember there being that kind of vitriol between those two offices. Mm. And I don't remember that similarly when Bob Abrams was the attorney general or other attorney general. It seems like a more recent development that this kind of perhaps with
Cuomo. You're right. I think you're right, Ira. When Bob Abrams was the attorney general, although he did run for office, it was a different time.
It was a different time.
It was a different time, and the AG's office was not the catbird seat, the same way it is now.
And doesn't it drive you crazy, as it does me or I, that when you see we talk.
So which is it? Is it me or I? Because you're going to get a letter.
My
one
wife
way or the
is
going to
tell me.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get a letter either way. It doesn't matter.
This is why I like to write as opposed to speak, because I can edit it to the paper. What was it going to? Oh, last week we talked about the State of the Union and all the puppets, and here. Here's the governor who most of the Albany insiders know is at war or something like that with the attorney general.
Right.
And he introduced, and here is my dear friend, the attorney general, and applause, applause, applause. And it's just the two-facedness that is displayed on this kind of thing just makes my stomach growl. That's or is it because I haven't
had I thought you were going to say hurl.
That's a terrific point, Ira. I want to compliment you.
Yeah, but my stomach could be growling because all I had was a little cereal this morning.
Yeah, you need to. You need to.
We should cater these.
We should absolutely.
We used to give out a bagel, but we don't have any.
Money
to
ask
anymore.
Dan Donovan, by the way, was
Dan
the name Donovan,
of the guy
who Dan ran
Donovan.
Against
Donovan.
Sounded like a.
That's right.
Wasn't he in? There's no business like show business. No, that was Dan Daly, I believe.
Can we talk about cataracts again?
I'm hoping we get to the Oscars pretty soon.
Oh, we will. We will. I just want to quickly read some letters. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about that. First of all, we have this letter from Steve. Right-wing conservatives are gloating over the fact that they can use this free speech defense to harass women trying to exercise their rights. Their free speech rights are intact. There are a million ways they can and do express them without having to harass and kill people who facilitate women's health rights. Just like they say, white people are being discriminated against when there is an effort to get minorities their proper representation in universities. It says, P.S., fracking companies have established rules that prevent demonstrators from getting close. They are protected. Also, we got this letter from Emily, who says, it dismays me that the very language used to discuss issues of choice seems biased. Most abortion clinics are actually women's health clinics, where many women go for a variety of services, and yes, even for OBGYN care when they are pregnant and planning to deliver a baby. Why can't we use a more accurate name, which was something that we
talked about
earlier. And Louise said, I think the lawyer defending the Massachusetts law of 30 feet buffer zone around abortion clinics should stand 35 feet away from the judge's bench to show that the distance does not impede free speech. So those are the comments that we have gotten
right people.
So far. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk Oscars and other stuff. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York. Purchasing estate jewelry, coins, silver, fine arts and collections, sponsor of Antiques Roadshow, marklawson.com. And Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, a nonprofit educational retreat center located in the Berkshires, offering yoga, personal growth, and healthy living programs, kripalu.org.
Welcome back to the roundtable. The breaking news this morning at 8:40. The all the people woke up early in California. What 4 o'clock? 4:40 in the morning, and they release the Oscar nominations for this year.
May I interrupt you a half a second? Because my wife is listening, and she just texted me that "me" was the proper word. So I'm relieved because I believe I had it right, or I believe me had it right. Okay, sorry. Go back to
can
what
we get
you
Mrs. Fussfeld on the panel? Yeah,
that's right. Bring her. Let's just have her help us out. We don't mean to mangle. The English language just happens occasionally. No. So the Oscar nominations were announced this morning, recognizing the year's best films. For Best Picture, stop me when you've seen one of these movies and want to talk about it. Best Picture, there are nine films nominated.
Whoa,
there used to be
a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there used to be five, and then they opened it up to, I believe, as many as 12, right?
I think that's
as many as 12. And they can have any number they want now between, I think, 4 and 12,
right.
I believe.
And it's all to sell more tickets.
Sure. Yeah, to get more people out.
The more people are nominated, the more people can say they were nominated.
The other reason, and we had the former head of the Academy on with us, Alan, over at BIFF, he would, the Berkshire International Film Festival. They said one of the other reasons that they were doing it was to hopefully help bring in films that came out earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. So there weren't all films that came out at the end that you would remember a great film that came out at the beginning of the year.
So when they release those, Joe, because I know you're an expert in Ray.
No.
Do they release those so that they do get a better chance of
getting
it?
It's been said that the studios will hold off the ones they really think should win awards until late in the year for the reason that Joe cited.
Yeah, because
there's only room
close
for five. Now, if you put, and conversely, if you said, oh, what's opening at the movies this weekend, meaning in the middle of January, you would say to yourself, well, that can't be that good because it's opening in the middle of January.
And it's no small coincidence that 2 weeks ago, it was before the nominations were actually due, there is an Oscar section in the Sunday New York Times, and in every single ad on the top says, for your consideration.
Well, right.
Yeah. So
what are they?
Go. American Hustle. American Hustle.
I saw it.
Not
yet.
I
loved it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing it.
Captain Phillips.
Saw it. Loved it.
With Tom Hanks. Dallas Buyers Club. I've not seen that film.
I look forward to seeing it.
With Matthew McConaughey, who was also nominated. Gravity.
Did not see
Gravity with
Did you like it?
I did. I don't think it's Best Picture, but I did enjoy it.
I want to put a caveat, by the way, on Hustle, because I knew a congressman who got abscammed, and I had reservations because I thought that they didn't say why the FBI was really complicit in setting these guys up, but I still thought it was a good film.
Her was nominated. That was just released, I think, this past week in our market.
Yet. We'll see it.
Nebraska, which I'm very excited about because it has Bruce Dern, who's just terrific. Philomena with Judi Dench.
Saw it, great.
Or as Leonardo DiCaprio would say, Philomenia.
Philomenia, yes. That's right.
No, it was a very good film.
The incredible 12 Years a Slave. Have you seen that?
Not
Steve
as yet,
McQueen.
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm told
Steve
McQueen?
He's the director.
Oh.
I'm told that people who are really moved by it and think it's great also say that the people who really ought to see that picture probably won't see that picture.
Well, I think that's true.
But also, I think the Academy, every once in a while, to their credit, I suspect, although there'll be an argument about this, gives awards out based on some of their political views as well as the artistic merits of the film.
That didn't happen with the Golden Globes. It was shut out of the Globes, yes?
It won Best Picture.
It won Best Picture.
It did not win any
of the other awards.
That was not quite a shutout winning Best Picture.
Yeah. One award out of how many nominations?
It won the big one. Finally, a film I have not seen yet, but I can't wait to see. It's only because I haven't been able to carve out 7 hours of time to see it, which is The Wolf of Wall Street.
I saw it.
It's seven
it
hours
well.
Long?
No, it's 3 hours.
It's three hours. But it could easily have been 2.5. I mean, there was a lot. There were a lot of scenes that were where it could have been cut
one
out.
One of the Cuomo guys said to me in a conversation, did you see it? And I said, yes. And the same thing was wrong with it, as was with the governor's speech. It was an hour too long.
It was too long.
Yeah. Sharknado's not in there?
No, Sharknado is not in there.
We saw that as a family last night on Netflix.
Yeah,
it was
terrific.
Good. It was good.
Sharknado?
No.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street. But be good. Prepared because it is a lot of nudity and a lot of F-bombs.
Oh, what's the name of that movie?
No, it has a record, I believe.
Really? A record? Yeah,
500 and some odd. I think they're trying to compare it to Goodfellas, which right. is another Scorsese film.
And, of course, Martin Scorsese was nominated for Best Director. I was happy to see Bruce Dern nominated. Leonardo DiCaprio was nominated as Best Actor.
Is that what he did? DiCaprio win the Globe for that?
He won the Globe for that.
Yeah. Yes, in Best, I don't follow these in things. Best Film Comedy.
Yeah, they considered that a comedy.
It was a comedy.
Ridiculous.
Much as
that
they
is
considered
so
musical
well,
or comedy.
The same with Osage County is considered a comedy.
Well, yes. That's ridiculous.
Meryl Streep received her, 18th, I believe, something like that.
Holy mackerel.
A nomination and an incredible performance. And then all Julie Roberts also nominated as a Best Supporting Actor. Judy Dench and Philomena was nominated.
Great actress.
And some great supporting actors too. Bradley Cooper, Jonah Hill, Jared Leto, Michael Fassbender, all nominated. Also Jennifer Lawrence and June Squibb and Julia Roberts nominated. And so we'll see what happens. The awards will be.
But Jonah Hill's going to win.
Okay. Think so.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Second time nominated.
It's amazing. I was going to say, and I know it'll be taken in the spirit with which I'm giving it. There's this fat little kid who made his bones in that Superbad movie, and to think he has now become a 2-time nominated Academy Award person, that's quite remarkable.
It is, but he's very good.
Very good. And he's very likable, too.
And he picks his.
And he's more like us than he is like them. I
would say so.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean.
Well, you know, he's not one of these 7-foot guys, 6'9", square jaw, handsome every, you know, I mean, I resent those people.
Huh.
Product of Hollywood.
The only thing I would argue with is I don't think any of those actors are 6'9".
Okay, okay, so
yeah. was Bill de Blasio nominated for anything?
Manute Bol's new film is terrific. I mean, you know.
His final work,
exactly.
We're sad to say.
Yeah, well.
Yes. The Oscars will be given out March 2nd, 2014, so you have time to go see all the great films that have been nominated, and you can talk about them and have fun and have a pool and make some money. We love hearing from you. Yeah. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC. What?
No, you're right.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we love hearing from people. Shaking.
Oh, no.
My head.
Okay. I started to get
head.
I was giving the address I looked up.
We all have been taught to nod our heads.
Yes. In agreement.
Yeah, that's
we're
that's
imitating.
Please write us.
Alan
Bobble
I thought held, I did, had done something wrong.
Did I tell Alan that my grandson loves the bobblehead?
Oh, boy.
I sent you a picture.
Has he managed to be able to get the head off?
Oh, no. Hopefully not. Okay. I don't believe it's childproof.
It's tough on the new one.
He enjoyed playing with it.
You better hurry.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.